younger years. And one of my favorite stories, a short story, was about this young space traveler who landed and visited an older relative. And then as they're discussing, you realize, wait a minute, the person he's visiting is his twin brother. And it's like, wait a minute, how did this happen? And, it's science fiction, but it's not all that crazy. Time, we tend to think of time as totally linear. There's never enough of it. Yeah, but totally linear. But we, as science has progressed, we understand that time is actually influenced by acceleration and gravity and things like that. So you can take in two atomic clocks that are precise down to the, I don't know which, how many decimal place accuracy of seconds. You can put, have them totally lined up, synchronized, leave one on the ground, put another in the plane and fly it around, and the one in the plane will be behind the one on the ground. You can take these two atomic clocks, synchronize them and put one upstairs and one downstairs, and the one downstairs will be ahead of the one upstairs. Think, wait a minute, how's that? Well, because time is influenced by things like gravity. Well, the point is, we are bound by time, and yet we still seek to understand it, and whether it's in a scientific way, but we really seek to understand time and the passing of time in our own experience. And so the phrase is, time waits for no man, time boggles our mind, and often childhood is spent looking forward. I've heard somebody say, when I was a kid and I'd be in school and watch that second hand and how slow it would go at the end of the class, and we're waiting to get out and go run home, and just how can it be that slow? And so kids often are looking forward to when they grow up, when they get just the next grade or the next few grades or whatever, because then they can do whatever they're looking forward to. And then in young adulthood, it's like, oh, we want time to slow down. There's not enough time to get all the assignments completed for class or whatever it is. Never seems to be enough time. And then in our senior years, people look back and wonder where all the time went. So for millennia, mankind has contemplated time and the passing of time. We've philosophized about it. We've struggled against it. We've yearned for something more permanent. Well, take a look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and this is, many have described this as maybe one of the most beautiful poetic pieces of the scripture. I'll leave that up to you. But certainly this, written by Solomon, helps us to ponder this matter of time and helps us to think through how that affects us and how we need to respond to the passing of time. This is often a passage we read at funerals, and you'll see from the second verse why, but let me read it and then we'll look at it. There is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search, and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We'll stop there. Yes, cue the music. Everybody's familiar with the, well, I don't know. Anyway, the older people are familiar with somebody who put this together and put it to music, just rearranged a little bit. It's known as the oldest lyrics ever to hit the, what, American Top 40 or whatever it was. Because this, it basically just quoted from King James. Time. There is an occasion for everything. There is a time, a proper time for everything, a time for every activity under heaven. And so he gives some of these examples, and we can relate to them, and some in our society we would write differently. A time for your computer to work great and for it to crash. I didn't know. You hope it's never a time for that, but yes, these are set more in agrarian setting, a time to plant and a time to uproot. When we bought our house 22 years ago, it was just dirt and subsoil. And so anyway, as they came in and put sod up, I went to the like four or five different garden centers and bought different shrubs and had it all planned out, sketched out. And so I planted them. And then years later, I'm having to use my angle grinder to cut some of that out. It's like what I cared for so tenderly, you know, in this fledgling little plant now is taking over, and it's, you know, it's getting, and so it's time to uproot some of that. It's time to kill and a time to heal, verse 3 says. There is a time to seek to nurse an animal back to health. And, you know, whatever you would do to try to help set a broken bone or whatever it is. But there's also a time to just mercifully end that animal's life and realize he's not healing. There is a time to raise animals, and for their milk or their wool or whatever. And there's a time to slaughter the animal to feed your family. That was their setting of that day. It says there in verse 3, a time to tear down and a time to build. I always get a kick out of watching the home reno shows that's so popular these days. But what's the funniest thing to me is you watch one show, and I just walk through as it's on, basically. So you watch one show, and they're saying, oh, see all this wallpaper? Oh, that is so dated. We've got to take all that out. All this natural wood. No, we need to paint over that. Then the next show, what are they doing? They're putting up wallpaper. They're stripping the paint off the old woodwork and so we're trying to restore it. It's just hilarious watching what people think is, well, it's the time for this or the time for that. It's a time to tear down, a time to build. Yeah. Well, what I would say is be very careful when people say they're trying to build something, a better society, but all they're really doing is tearing down. And we've seen examples of that. Be careful when movements get people just tearing things down with no plan to build. The scripture says there's a time for both. There is a time to tear down and a time to build. Verse 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. You can greatly offend people. You can get in a lot of trouble for trying to laugh at the wrong time. Don't go to the airport. Hardly anybody's going to the airport these days. But don't go and try to joke about bomb threats or whatever, contraband. That is not the time for a joke. But there is a time to laugh. There's a time to dance, as this says. And yet there's also a time to mourn and a time to weep. And our society would say that all of life should be, we should be able to not be upset and not be depressed, not be saddened. You know, we have pills for that, right? And yet the scripture says there's more wisdom in the house of mourning than there is in the house of feasting. There's a time for that. There's a time to learn from that and gain the perspective from those who have lost family members, lost businesses, lost their own health. There's a time to weep. As Jesus said, we need to mourn with those who mourn. Verse 5 is something that you really may not relate to very much. There's a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. And yet, I remember as a little kid going to my grandmother's farm, we'd gather. Missouri has rocks. Rocks everywhere. And it just seems to produce more rocks and rocks. And we've tried to dig post holes and all you find is rocks. So as a kid, we'd gather these rocks and we'd put them in a place and kind of make the outline of a house and we'd play, you know, so we'd gather them. But then years later, I remember my grandmother saying, we need to clear off some of these rocks. So we need you just to move them down the hill. And so the easiest thing was you just pick them up and throw them. Pick them up and throw them and just throw them down the hill so that the cattle could have, you know, more grass up at the top or whatever. Anyways, literally a time to gather stones and a time to throw them away. Verse 6, yeah. Search. There's a time to search and a time to count as loss. And it's interesting to hear and read, and even they have TV shows of search and rescue, and they, the enormous length that they go to search for somebody who's lost, whether it's a child or whether it's somebody out in the bush or whatever it is, to search for someone. And probably the most heart-wrenching part of that is when you have to say, it's time to call off the search. It's time to give up and to count them as lost. They couldn't have survived this long, or we've lost too many men trying to find them in this forest fire, or whatever it is. And yet the scripture says there is a time to search and a time to count as lost. In other words, give up and just take the loss. Verse 6, a time to keep and a time to throw away. And now we live in a day where we have so much stuff, it takes more time to throw stuff away than it does to keep it. Anyway, we won't go into that. Verse 7, a time to be silent and a time to speak. Very important. We need to understand what the times are. And I would say, during election is a time to speak, a time for us to be speaking to others and to ask them what they're thinking and to challenge them and to express, to speak up for what is right and what against what is wrong. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Proverbs 25 verse 11 also says, a word spoken at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. In other words, they was coming up with the most precious thing you could think of. Gold apples on a silver tray, a silver setting. That would just be amazing. And saying the right thing at the right time can speak so much, can halt violence, can encourage a discouraged person, can even save somebody's life if they were considering taking their own life. A time to speak and a time to be silent. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. And I'm sure people was like, well, wait a minute, Christianity is all about just love. Shouldn't Christians just be loving? Well, we need to love the right things and hate the wrong things. We need to hate evil. We need to hate sin and injustice and be ready to do what we can, what God puts under our hand, our power, to fight those. to fight that sin in our own life as well as in society. A time to love and a time to hate. And then verse 8, second part, time for war and a time for peace. I can remember in university a great class that I had and a prof that I really respected. I appreciated most of the class. It was a propaganda survey class and kind of helped me see through a lot of what media in its many forms gives us. But I remember the last day, and this prof, she spoke and very, very passionately just spoke to us. Don't worry, this isn't going to be on the test, but she said, "There is no reason good enough to send my son off to war." And I understand the not firsthand, but I understand some of the horrors of war and losing a son in war. I understand. But it really hit me. Maybe you need to let your son decide on that. Maybe there is a time when seeing your life threatened would be a time he would say, "It's time for me to sign up and go to protect our country." Time for war and a time for peace. And we pray for that peace. And yet, as we look through the scripture, it says there will be strife. There will be war. Well, let's go on and read the next few verses and then kind of sum this up. Verse 9. "What does the worker gain from his struggles? I've seen the task that God has given people to keep them occupied. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts. But man cannot discover the work of God, the work God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for them to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts. I know that all God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever is, has already been, and whatever will be, already is. God repeats what is past." Well, lots more thoughts here on time and the passing of time, and we'll just look at a couple of these. First of all, what does the worker gain from his struggles there in verse 9? And no question, what he's expressing is there are times that we will not see the result of our work. And that you may say, "Yeah, that's every day I go to work. I'm working and the pile doesn't seem to be going down. The boss just keeps adding more on the top and I never can even get close to moving the pile, removing the pile." Well, we may not always see the benefit of our work. And yet, that doesn't mean there is no benefit. It just means that we may not complete it as we would like to see it completed. You know, how many, whenever you work in, around the house, it's like, "I just washed these dishes and they're dirty again," right? "You know, I just cleaned these clothes and there's a mountain of laundry again." Yeah, well, that's life. We all need to keep eating. We all keep making a mess. But that doesn't mean it wasn't important to do the dishes yesterday. That's why we're not getting dysentery today. You know, and yet it seems never ending. And some jobs are never ending in this life. But this also talks about the pace of life. There is a time to work feverishly, and Proverbs is a great book about work, about, you know, do your outside work first, plant, so, and then you can do your inside work in the wintertime when you can't get the outside work done. In other words, there's a wise way about going about your work and the prioritizing and ordering your work, and there would be a foolish way. we need to understand that pace of life. There is a time to work and work feverishly at times, it seems, but then you got to rest. The scripture, the proverb says that God grants his beloved rest. And so we have a long weekend this weekend. I don't know if that means more work for you or less work, but it's supposed to be a day off tomorrow, Labor Day, in which we remember workers. Anyways, but we need to understand the pace of life. We need to watch our pace of life carefully, because you're not just working for a few years. We need to work for how many decades before you may get to retire or retire early. We are in this for the long haul. Verse 11 is a real summary to all that is written in verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything because God has created these things. He has created these things. He's created time. Verse 11 says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. And King James says beautiful, and I looked up that word. Does it mean beautiful or does it mean appropriate? Well, it's used for both. It's the right thing in that time. And actually, even in King James, that Hebrew word is used four times more to mean appropriate than, or fair, or handsome, or than beautiful. So, but we need to understand God is the one who has created appropriateness. He's created things that are right and things that are wrong. And he's created beauty. Things that, and actually that's a great argument for the existence of God, that there is beauty, there is objective beauty. And yes, different cultures have somewhat different ideas of beauty, but we also have some very clear ideas on ugliness and beauty. Why? Well, God has created things that way. We see the beauty of detail. We see the beauty in creation. We see the proportions that are pleasing to us in creation. God has created all of that. He has made everything appropriate or fair or beautiful in its time. Now, to me, the easiest thing to see is that God created time, that time limits you and I, but God is outside of that. He's outside of all creation. He is not a physical being. He is outside of height and length and depth and time. And the Bible describes this in different ways. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2, says, a day with the Lord, or with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. I don't think that's a literal mathematical formula. 1,000, God days, or human days equals one God. I just think it means God doesn't count time as we do. Time is different. Or God isn't influenced by time. He is eternal. Eternal past, eternal future. And yet we are bound by the time and the physical limitations that God has created for us. So we need to understand, as it says, there's a time for this and a time for that. We have the time for everything. Oh, great. That means that I can get what I want if I just wait long enough. No, this is not a promise. You will get everything you want. This is about God's time, God's will. God's will being done, even though we may not understand it or it may not be in our timing. We need to know God's time for our actions and our words. We need to go to God and say, God, is this the time to plant or a time to uproot? Is this a time to kill or a time to heal? We need to know, God, you tell me, is this the time for me to be involved with this activity or that activity? Now, certainly there's things that we can ask God about that God may not tell us. The disciples came and said, oh, so is it this time that you're going to restore the nation to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the times that God has set by his own authority. So there are some things it's not for us to know the time. And many have said it's probably a good thing we don't know the time of our dying. And yet we need to be ready for it. We need to accept from God that he has that time and that it is not for us to decide, whoa, this is the time I want to, regardless of what the people say about dignity and dying. No, it is God's time. And I'm not to decide it's not your time to live anymore. That's murder. Or me to live anymore. No, God has those things set in his time. Now, we still need to ask God, is this the time for me to do this or that with a heart of obedience? And God may not tell us, but he may. He may say, stop being quiet and speak up. Speak up for me, for Christ. Speak up for what is right. Speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves. This may be that time to speak up. And God will help us to rest if it's not the time to act. We can worry so much. And Jesus had a whole section in Matthew chapter 6, beautiful section where he talks about, don't worry, it can't add a single hour to your life. There's a time to work and a time to rest and leave the results to God. Proverbs says, the sleep of the laborer is sweet. So, yeah, work hard. But when it's time to go to bed so you can get up the next day and work hard again. I know in reading secularly, there's a lot of people have taken this time of isolation, the time of this virus and the lockdowns and all those things, and it's really caused them to rethink their lives, rethink time, rethink what is important. And we see huge shifts. We see shifts in where people are living, emptying of the city, not emptying, but people moving out of the cities to suburbs. And we see people deciding, well, no, I don't want to go back to working in an office. I like being able to work out of my home or spend more time with my family or whatever. Anyways, we are in a time when a lot of people are rethinking their lives. And that can be very helpful. It can lead to a lot of bad decisions, no question. Well, I don't want this. A lot of selfish decisions. That's not. But we need to go to God and ask God, what is your time for me now? What do I need to be doing? I know the isolation has in many ways lulled many, and I saw this in myself, into an inactivity. You know, your brain's not sharp enough because you don't see as many people, you don't talk, you don't get out of the house as much, and you don't go to as many places, and so it's easy to just kind of become a zombie, it feels like, and your mind's not as sharp. And we need to be careful about that. We need to ask God, God, is this a time for me to continue to hang back, or is it time for me to begin to move forward again? And our governments have said it's a time to start school again and time to begin some things more again. And we pray for God's wisdom for it all. And we need to know God's time for us. 2 Corinthians 6 verses 1 and 2 says, working together with him, we also appeal to you, don't receive God's grace in vain. For he says, I heard you in an acceptable time. I helped you in the day of salvation. And then, so he quotes that, and then he says, look, now is the acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. So, God is always calling people to himself. And he basically says, today, every single day is the right time to turn to God. It's the right time for salvation. It's the right time to commit your life to Christ and to make him known. Knowing the time, understanding and embracing God's purpose in his time. Join with me as we pray. Lord, we come to you and we hear these words and ponder them as many have, millions have pondered them before us. And Lord, we want to understand time. We want to, as the Apostle Paul says, we want to redeem the time, make the most of the time, because the days are evil. And so Lord, guide us in this. Guide us to have a proper perspective, your eternal perspective. That yes, we may not see all the result of our work today, but you know in all of eternity. And so we must trust ourselves to you. God, speak to us and develop our ability to hear your voice, to know what we need to be doing with today, with whatever time you have given us. Lord, I thank you for each in this congregation, for our desire to know you and love you and live our lives for you. And Father, I pray you will continue to add to our congregation those who would seek you, those who would seek to live each day for you. And we all need help in that. So Father, thank you for the church family and how we can encourage each other and build each other up. And Lord, I pray that if there are any who have not yet made that commitment to you as willing to follow you as Lord and Savior and receive the forgiveness from Jesus, that I pray that today they will make that decision and that they will hear these words that today is the day of salvation. This is the appropriate time. And that they would confess their sin and receive the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit that you put to live inside of us. Lord, we rejoice that you have every day of our lives written in your book before one of them came to be. Help us to trust ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.